Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Kaplan from SiriusXM will join us at 8:30. We will get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. So looking forward to that coming up later this hour. Joe, I'm throwing this question out there to you right now. Which Titans newcomer, other than Cam Ward, we're taking him out of this conversation, is the most important to their success this year? Which Titans newcomer, other than Ward, will be the most important part of their success this year, in your mind?
Easy, fast answer for me, and it's Dan Moore.
Your boy.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I'm keeping an open mind on him, and Steelers fans. There's some Steelers fans who are like, whew, good riddance. There are underlying numbers that suggest real progress last year. There's an overall performance that suggests, that he's not going to be a great player over there. Can he be a pretty good player over there? If he can be pretty good, decent, okay, average, then that is the biggest impact because you solidified that. And then, of course, you hope that the right tackle is way better, switching Latham back over there, that those things go hand in hand. But I got to go with him. If they haven't fixed left tackle, I think it's going to be more of the same. It's going to be quarterbacks who are better than they appear because of the offensive line. I'm not saying Will Levis was going to be some superstar last year if he had a good offensive line. But I bet you it would have looked better, and I bet you that some of his decisions, some of the clock speeding up on him and all those things that impact a quarterback when you know you have no protection, I bet you that would have resulted in some better plays and decisions from him and overall production. And Cam Ward, you just want him to have a chance to show what he can do. And if Dan Moore is a guy who gives up close to the most sacks in the league, which is what he's been in his career, then I don't know that you're going to be much better. And especially because you got your center coming back from an Achilles. So that's that another critical position. And I know they've addressed it in other ways, but it comes down to that guy to me.
I think it's a great answer. I think that's probably the way most people would lean. I'll throw another one at you. And it's basically, it's not really totally 100% having to do with him. It's more to do with the position that he plays and the lack of options that are there right now. Like, to me, they need – I know we kind of view Femi Oladejo as a project. But right now, like, I'm looking at that room. He's going to have to play. Like, he is going to have to play. And they need him to be ready to go and to be impactful as an edge rusher. And that may not be overly realistic for him where he is on his career right now. I mean, he just started playing the position – at the college level last year. So now you're talking about, making the transition to a different position and then trying to play it at a starting level in the National Football League a year later. That seems like a tough thing to do. But where they're at right now and how important that is to what I think is right now a defense that has a lot of questions and that frankly could be pretty bad this year, like they need him to be able to step in and give them some very meaningful snaps at that spot. I'm not saying he's got to step in and be like some double-digit sack guy because I don't think that's within the world of realism for him in year one, but they need him to be a player. So Dan Moore is a great answer. Like I think that makes a ton of sense, everything you just threw out there. I'm worried to death about their edge rusher spot right now. They look really bad to me at that spot, and I think that could end up being just a massive problem for this team.
Yeah, Dennis agrees with you, and I like that answer. It's like if he ends up being one of those guys you talk about a lot, that's a great development for them because, first of all, I'm with you. I think the state of the position dictates that whether – even if he is a – this guy really is going to come into his own in 2026, like he's going to have to be on the field a lot and have to progress in broad daylight in front of everybody because they just – now, there's some guys that can move around. They've got some kind of, inside-outside pieces that they'll probably do some different things with.
Yep.
But pure edge is destitute if he's not good.
Well, and fair or not, he's a second round pick, and you need your second round picks to come in and help you immediately, right? I mean, how long have we talked about that around here of, you know, draft picks not coming in and giving you an impact as quickly as you need them to? Well, you know, I just laid it out there. I do think Oladejo specifically is more of kind of like a long-term developmental pick, but he is a second-round pick. Like, they need him to come in and play and to be really good right from the jump, right? So I think he's got to be a part of this. We do have a vote on the text line, Joe, for kicker Joey Sly coming in.
I saw that. Well, yeah.
That's I don't hate it.
It's not unimportant.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
It's not insignificant for sure.
We got to vote for Tyler Lockett. He needs to be good. To me, Lockett, I think you more or less know what he is, right? Which is not a bad thing. You know, he's going to be 33 in September. He's been incredibly durable throughout his career, so hopefully that continues to be the case. But, like, to me, I've said at the moment they signed him, he had 49 catches last year for 600 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, I'd probably like to see the touchdowns go up a little bit. But other than that, like, if you told me right now that's what he was going to be, I'd say, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll take that. You know, it would be great if, like, you know, DK or Io Manor stepped in and was the most important addition outside of Cam Ward, because that would tell me that they're pretty darn good if that's the way that things go here. But to me, I think you nailed it with Dan Moore, and the other option would be Oladejo at edge rusher, just with how important those positions are going to be to this team.
Yeah. Texter asking, why don't they make a trade for Hendrickson with Cincinnati? He's clearly out over there. There's your edge, yeah. He just put out some big statement again about how, like, they're not even talking to Mike Brown, man, that guy. Okay, he's the only non-billionaire owner. I mean, he is a 900 millionaire, but still, that looks like an untenable situation.
Like, didn't we talk about when the moment they decided to pay Chase and Higgins? I was like, I don't think they're going to pay Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, but it's like, again, if you're Joe Burrow,
I know
you have to be. I guess you almost have to be like, well, we got something. At least my side of the ball got addressed. But, like, that's the whole problem. I mean, last year Joe Burrow had MVP numbers, and it didn't matter because their defense was atrocious.
I mean, the what I would say, you know, we got somebody asking us why they're not making a trade for Hendrickson. What I would say to that is why I also think he's going to have a tough time getting a huge amount of guaranteed money moving forward. He's 30, and he's going to be 31 this year. That's not ancient, but, like, how many times do you see – a long-term, like, financial, here's a huge guaranteed contract to somebody when they're going to be 31 coming up this year.
Yeah, it's not the time period. I mean, I
be way better for him if he's a free agent at 28, right? You know, he's got 1 year left on the deal. I think his number's around 17 or something this year. So, like, if you're him, you've led the league in sacks the last couple years, and you're watching Myles Garrett over there get paid $40 million this offseason, and you're saying, hello? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
But I don't know that Cincinnati's going to get there. And if you're the Titans, like, would it make sense with where your franchise is? I know they need help at edge rusher. I do. But does it make sense with where you're at to go add somebody who'll be 31 this year, pay him all that money, and hope that you're good, hope that he's still a great player for you here in 2 years when he's 33 and your team is starting to come up?
Yeah, what would an asking price be for Hendrickson if you're Cincy? Like, what do you want back?
I'd assume it's
something high, right?
High. Yeah, and are you willing to give up? You willing to give up a high pick at this point if you're the Titans for a guy that's going to be 31? I know how good he is. Like, Hendrickson's a great player. But with where you're at with your team, does that make sense?
No, because I would assume they'd probably want at least a third would be my guess. Yeah,
I don't think it, maybe higher.
I mean, I don't think it makes sense. I mean, he could come in, be great, lead the league in sacks, and you could still win 6 games. So, to me, your team's going to be bad this year, Titans fans. So, maybe they can overachieve, and Cam Ward's great. He gets protection, and you can sneak up on 7 or 8 wins, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that, like,
yeah, what's trading for Hendrickson is a win now move type
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And that's not where team the Titans
trading,
are.
Right. Team trading for Hendrickson is like, we're in our window. We're willing to do this and overextend and give up draft capital. The Titans need draft picks to come in. They need Oladejo to produce. They need their draft picks to work out, or else you're just screwed. I mean, they are in this spot because they have drafted terribly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Titans, their newcomers, and how important these guys are to their success this season. We'll get into that coming up next. Adam Kaplan will be with us at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game.
Rookies out here trying to win jobs, take jobs from other players. What's your message, I guess, to veterans about welcoming these guys in and the competition and how you want them to treat the new guys coming in?
Yeah, they're members of our football team, and there's a lot of guys that we're counting on to help us. And I think I've always felt like veteran players have really sort of one thing on their mind, is they're just trying to see if these guys are about the right stuff and if they can help us win. And if these guys show that that's the case, they're welcomed in. It's that simple sometimes, is that we're just trying to build the best football team possible. These guys here want to win. They want a bunch of guys that will help them do it. They always know there's competition. You know, every year in pro football, you know, even if you are under contract and you've been paid, you know, there's still people coming. And you still have to prove it and perform every time you come out here. I think everyone understands that. So it's not the personal part of it. That's the business. And I think these guys are excited. I think they're excited for the competition. I think they're excited to see what young players we have that can help us win football games at the end of the day, and how much better we can get our football team, because that's ultimately what we're all trying to do, is win football games and have success.
That's Brian Callahan over the weekend, taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Got some tickets to give away to the Outlaw Music Festival, featuring Willie Nelson and family, Bob Dylan, and more, coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 25th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival, coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 25th. Let's head back to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Man, Robbie, I just feel like, no, we do not need Trey Hendrickson. I mean, we could use him, but it's not time yet. Like, we're getting close to being competitive in a space like that. But just seeing if you get Tyler Lockett at this point in his career and he texts, like, 3 different texts to rookies, and you're like, oh, my God, thank you for the leadership. Your team is not in a good place to be doing a whole lot of things. Like, that's all I thought was, like, finally, we got an adult on this football team. We got an adult in the room that gets it. Like, that's what we need. We need somebody that's good like that, trying to build it together. I don't know, dude. Like, we're so far. Jeffrey Simmons is such a disappointment. Why do I always think of him? I don't know. I think it's something stuck in my head with this guy. But, like, you get paid like a dog, man. You get paid so good. You call yourself a leader, but you never show me that you're a leader. Like, he should be doing what Lockett's doing right now. So I think maybe you get some of the guys who have been here step up and act right. But instead, I think it's all Lockett. But no, we can't do Hendrickson yet, just because we're not prepared to take on a contract like that for no reason.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Okay, I need to nitpick one thing there. He said we're getting close. Is that right? You just picked first. I don't know if anybody's getting close to anything. We'll see. But I kind of disagree too with, now that he mentions it with Simmons, I kind of like the good cop bad cop idea, right? Lockett goes out, shakes everybody's hand, and Simmons picks out a media member to rough up a little bit in front of the fans. You know, who was it this year? Last year you picked on Andrew.
Did have a nice exchange on Twitter the other day between Stilly and a fan who wanted to see Jeffrey Simmons slap Stilly.
Yeah, he's like, I want him to slap the fart out of you. I'm like, geez, calm down.
Some people take their hatred for Stilly a little too far.
Yeah, this guy was like, actually wants Jeff to slap him more than he wants his team to win
the Super Bowl. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
You might have a problem.
You might.
But I agree with Adam that, yeah, it's not time. I don't know if anybody's getting close to anything. Getting close to pulling our hair out.
How good's Cam Ward? I mean, ultimately, like, everything we talk about ultimately ends up back at that, right? Like, hey, how good's Cam Ward going to be? If Cam Ward's going to be pretty good, a lot of these things we're talking about are going to fix itself. That's how it works in the NFL.
How good is he going to be? Also, how good are the Titans going to allow him to be?
Right.
That's my concern.
Well, and you bring up Dan Moore. You know, Wes in Clarksville talking about, you know, Brian Callahan, the Titans' success is dependent on, or excuse me, Bill Callahan and the offensive line. Like, if Dan Moore comes in and is competent at left tackle, I would hope J.C. Latham is good at right tackle. Like, if he's not, he needs to be well above average at right tackle for the team. I said elite earlier in the offseason. I think he probably needs to eventually get to elite. You took him 7th overall to be your franchise left tackle. So if he's not an elite right tackle, that would probably bother me a little bit. But right now, in year two, I'll settle for well above average at right tackle. If you get that combo of Moore being decent at left tackle and Latham above average at right tackle, then I like where you're heading with your offensive line at that point.
Right. Look, this whole we have moved to the situation where, at least with Brinker, you know, everyone, not Borgonzi, obviously, his first year, but with Brinker, I mean, everybody here on that offensive line is on him, right, to some extent, right? I mean, you know, you go back to picking Skoronski. I mean, Skoronski and Latham need to be great. I have questions about Skoronski being great. Can he be really good? Okay. It doesn't justify the pick, but I mean,
take
okay.
that at this point, yeah.
Yeah, you need some really good players, and then, yeah, I'm with you. Latham needs to be great. And you immediately flip him to one side, say that's what he should play, and then you come back the next year, flip him to the other side for, yeah, I guess the best free agent solution you could have had, but it's not a completely inspiring one.
Well, what they're going to sell to you, and what I think they've already tried to sell to you, is they're looking for the best five, right, on the offensive line. And that's great. Like, I like that in theory. But again, like, Dan Moore was a by-the-numbers decent left tackle that was available and you paid a lot of money to, because that's what happens when you get the free agency as a starting-level left tackle. You make a lot of money. Is that better than J.C. Latham turning into what you drafted him to be, which is your franchise left tackle that's here for the next 10 to 12 years at that spot? I would argue no. Like, to me, if you figured out the left tackle, I'd probably settle for that. But in the meantime, this is the route they've gone. Like, they've moved J.C. Latham back. So you're hoping those five, and again, we'll see on Cushenberry and what that looks like, but you're hoping those five together on the offensive line right now give you the best offensive line play that you've had in at least 3 years to this point.
Yeah, and that's what matters, is that you improve it, you get to the point where you give yourself a chance offensively. I just have a problem with everything the way it went down, because again, you know, I mentioned Brinker, but this is the Callahans, right? This is everybody last year. I mean, I know Rand's gone, so everybody would like to pin everything on Rand, but this is a lot of people who are still here who looked at this situation, thought about it one way, spent all this time working on it. And like you said, if you have your long term on a rookie deal left tackle, that's beautiful. And that's what you should get when you pick in that spot, and you've already abandoned it for a questionable guy.
Yeah. No, yeah, I don't love it. Like, we talked about that at the time. I don't love moving on from Latham at left tackle that quickly, if that's what you determined that he was going to be. Now, that's what they've done. So, I mean, there's, you know, we can sit here and harp about it all day, but it's what they've done to this point. But, like, what are you going to do when Moore's gone 2-3 years? You're just going to move back to left tackle? You're going to keep him over at right? Like, at this point, I guess I'm hoping J.C. Latham turns into a really, really good right tackle in this league.
Yeah, and so just remember, as we discuss this, it's not too far in the future, Titans fans, that your Titans are going to draft a left tackle high in the draft.
Exactly.
I mean, it's an incredible run of drafting offensive linemen and not having any of it work out.
Right. Like, that's how you get to where they're at right now. And, again, we got people talking about, you know, Hendrickson and the defensive side of the ball and how worried they are about edge rusher. Like, I said it the other day, everybody views what's best for the quarterback through the lens of the offense. And we spent so much time talking about the offensive line and wide receivers and skill position, all those things. You know what is really not good for a quarterback, too, is if your defense is giving up 35 a game and he's having to constantly just drop back and throw the ball and chase the game the whole time. And I'm worried to death right now from a combination of things, from a combination of I don't like their edge rusher group at all. I don't know what in the world's going on with the Darius Sneeds, both legally and with his health. Like, there's so many questions in me on defense right now. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, we've talked about him a lot on today's show. Jeffrey Simmons is not old, but Jeffrey Simmons has not been, in my opinion, worth the contract that he's been paid in the last couple of years. He's 27. He'll be 28 coming up here in a few weeks. Is he going to be better this year, or is he just going to be what he's been the last couple years, which is good, and he's fine, but he's not elite, and that's what you were paying him to be.
Yeah, and last year, some of my optimism was Simmons, Sweat, what could that be? You know, Sand and Portland mentioned earlier, like, how much are the edge guys aided by those two guys dominating the middle? Well, they would be. So let's see if they do it. I think last year there was some good, but you need that combo to be great. And I just I don't know that that's in the cards. You certainly Sweat has more growth, and you hope that happens.
Hope.
But yeah, I don't know with Jeff. Although Mark Francis City, who by the way is arguing with you and thinks there's more Bama fans than Tennessee, are very close. I'd wonder what your dad would think about that. He also would like to see Jeff slap Stillman, and it would be a charity event. I don't think we want a charity event where someone dies. You know?
A terrible charity event.
Yeah. It was a big slap. Oh, no! All the ambulance. Thanks for coming, everybody. We're doing the silent auction next.
Adam Kaplan.
On Jared's corpse.
SiriusXM joins us coming up next. We'll get to the Titans and all things NFL with them. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking a little Titans and NFL. And to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Adam Kaplan from SiriusXM NFL Radio. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I'm well. I'm looking forward to what's been an interesting offseason for the Titans, certainly with the quarterback, but a lot of change, which unfortunately has been a norm in recent years for this football team.
Yep, no doubt about that. Lots of change, and that has been the norm around here. So let's just start there. What do you make of Cam Ward, the selection by the Titans, and the situation that he's walking into, obviously with a roster that still has a lot of work to do, and with Brian Callahan heading into year two?
It's funny you say a lot of work to do. I remember sitting in John Lynch's office, the 49ers GM, one of my training camp visits, and we were talking about the changeover in the roster, and he showed me this placard that he and Kyle Shanahan have that says you can't something like this. I'm going to paraphrase: you can't solve every issue in one off season. And that's with this new front office, which has had massive change. I mean, it's not just the general manager. It's Chad Brinker and a bunch of other guys who have come in from other winning organizations. So you've got that. You've got a lot of roster changes. So the question is, can, over a series of 3 to 4 years, which is quite frankly what it's going to take of getting this thing right, can they build enough around Cam Ward to win? And it's not just the offense. Yes, getting him help, and we'll get into that in a second. But the one thing, when you talk to people around the league, when they look at the Titans, they'll tell you, and a lot of us were trying to figure out what the Titans would do in the draft after Cam Ward, it's where the playmakers on defense. And that to me is a major issue. It has been a major issue for this team for a number of years.
So we've been talking about, well, they have many issues, of course, Adam. We've talked about one possible solution, though. I don't think it's the right time for this particular franchise to look at it. But Trey Hendrickson with the Bengals doesn't sound good over there. We all know that the Bengals have pinched a few pennies over the years. But where do you think that goes? What do you think if they were to trade, like what the asking price would be for Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah, so with Hendrickson, here's kind of the sort of Cliff Notes version. They made a decision that they were going to extend not only Jamar Chase's contract, but surprised a lot of people around the league that they were actually going to re-sign T. Higgins. And T. Higgins is a nice number two receiver. Most teams don't pay both. The Eagles have done it with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, but typically you don't pay both. And they just ignored their defense, which quite frankly, at times last season, with Trey Hendrickson, who's a great player, was not competitive. That's why they changed defense coordinators and went with Al Golden, who's been a former college head coach and NFL assistant who will run their defense. So, look, Trey Hendrickson is a guy who's in his 30s now, very durable, one of the top three pass rushers in the National Football League. The problem with him is, and you look at let's just extrapolate a little bit, if you're the Titans, well, your team, that's a long ways away from winning. What would be really the point? Yes, do they need edge rush help in a major way? It's a major problem. Oh, I love Oladejo, the second round edge rusher from UCLA, a lot. He's one of my favorite players for this draft. But they're so far away from being a competitive team that it just would not make any sense on that side. I just don't see it at all with the Titans. Now, let's get back to the Bengals. Like, what's going to happen here? First of all, we're in May. And I get it. Trey Hendrickson, it's just he wants a new deal. And he's got a veteran agent in Harold Lewis who's been around a long time. Harold knows that these things usually take shape closer to training camp. They're not really engaging other teams into trading him, so as I understand it. So, look, things could change. We know that. But urgency tends to happen when we get closer to training camp. So you're asking me what's likely to happen. one way or the other, I expect this to get resolved. And I'll tell you this. When things change is when a player withholds services, and by the way, Hendrickson's he's under contract, so he can withhold. He'd be withholding services, means he's not showing up. I remember talking to the Raiders in 2018 when they swore to me they were not going to trade Khalil Mack. And John Gruden commandeered personnel, and then what happened was, and ironically, Reggie McKenzie is now with the Titans. What happened was Gruden thought, and he was wrong, that Mack wouldn't show up early in the season, and Mack never said that he wouldn't, and Gruden got worried, and he wound up trading to the Bears. And then they thought the Bears would be a bad team, but they weren't. They actually wound up making the playoffs.
So, Adam, you brought up the process for the Titans here, and maybe over the next 3 or 4 years, what's that's gonna take. And I'm with you, like it's a long term thing here. But I also look at the Titans and I look at Amy Adams Strunk, their owner, and it's just kind of been all over the place the last few years. She was all in on Vrabel, and then she wasn't. And then she was all in on Carthon, and she fired John Robinson in 2022 halfway through the year when they were in first place. Like it's just been kind of erratic from the ownership side of it. So. Do you believe that she's going to have enough patience to go through the necessary process here of building this roster?
All right, there's a lot to unpack here, okay? I know where I was when Robinson was let go. I was shocked because, as you know, she extended his contract, I believe, in February of that year and then fired him in October.
Yep.
That's unheard of. This is my 27th year of covering the NFL. I've had a lot of crazy text messages. I got a lot of, like, what are they doing in Tennessee, for personnel people who are shocked by it? So that goes to your point. She's very unpredictable, but I'll say this much. You can't say that she's not willing to pay personnel executives. Let me just explain kind of what's happened here. So you know about Chad Brinker and his promotion to president of football operations. He's an overseer. Mike Briganti won 3 Super Bowls with the Chiefs. He's the general manager. Dave Ziegler won... He's their assistant GM, won 3 rings with the Patriots. Dan Sagnew, the VP of player personnel, who's, by the way, really talented. I know that he didn't win a lot there, but from what I'm told, he's really good. Reggie McKenzie, who I mentioned, who's the football advisor, right? Former Raiders GM, won a Super Bowl as a personnel executive with the Packers. Scott Cohen, who is John Harbaugh's right-hand man for 9 seasons with the Ravens. He's the director of strategy now for the Titans, who won a lot with the Eagles and Ravens. So here's the thing, guys. They got a lot of guys who have won before. If these guys could get along and they're allowed to do their job without interference from the owner, there's a chance this thing gets turned around a lot faster than maybe I thought or you guys thought. And by the way, not that they're going to make the playoffs this year, but you saw what happened with the Commanders last season. You get an elite quarterback. No one saw coming what the Commanders did last season. Let's be honest about it.
No doubt. And obviously the Texans the year before. I don't think we think, looking at this roster, that's in the cards here. But
no way.
Yeah, but, well, you mentioned with an elite quarterback. What do you think of Cam Ward as a quarterback?
Yeah, so my first mock draft I did, I put Ward in there, and I never – the first mock I did was in January, and I put Ward in there because I had a pretty good idea that he was the best quarterback for this draft, that there was a major separation from Sanders and Ward, and obviously there was more going with Shador Sanders probably than we knew for a series of months and weeks, but – He's a super aggressive thrower. A source that did extensive work on his background for the draft said that he's all about football. He's not about show. He's about the game. He's a baller. I get it. Super talented, super aggressive. That's what you want. I know the Titans, from talking to a team source over a series of months and weeks over the last year or so, would say that what they want to be able to, and you guys know this from following the team, the fans know this, you want to be able to close games. They had a major problem with Levis closing games, of mental errors and so forth. And with Will Levis, there was such a high and a low with him. You never knew what you were getting because he's an immensely talented quarterback who was very inconsistent. And I just sensed that they were sick of it. So, they were just frustrated. And by the way, they didn't draft him, this front office. So, Ward's their guy, and they'll be evaluated. Amy Adams Strunk will evaluate how well Ward does and the rest of the roster. But overall, offensively, they need to help him at receiver. There's no question. Ridley, I don't put it on Ridley what happened last year. It was just their offensive line, the problem at left tackle, moving Latham. They wanted Joe Alt last year. I'm told that was going to happen if he was there, but he wasn't. The Chargers beat him to it. So they went with Latham, who's not a left tackle. They learned that the hard way. He's now at right. Dan Moore, who that deal was – I'm shocked at that one, but I know there were 3 teams, I'm told, that were in it on it. So, okay, they he had leverage. It's a great contract. Good luck to him. He did a good job last year for the Steelers, though, I will tell you that. Cushenberry back from the injury. Zeitler's a journeyman guard. They're going to be better. They're going to protect the quarterback better. To move this along, I just don't know if they, the skill position spots, particularly at receiver, they need to help out Ridley. The kid from Stanford's intriguing, but he's sort of a low-end backup, high-end starter, at least as of now, that was the way the league sees him.
Well, Adam, really good stuff as always, man. You're always kind with your time. We appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Adam Kaplan from SiriusXM NFL Radio, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Adam had to say. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, plus a development in the world of sports last night that was kind of funny when you get down to it. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Appreciate Adam Kaplan for being with us in the last segment. You know, the 3 to 4 years sounds about right. The elevator, of course, would be if Cam Ward is an absolute stud. Probably get there a little quicker if that's the plan there.
Yeah, it happens a lot faster than, you know, in 2015, going into 2016, no one had that team winning 9 games. They just won 5 in the last 2 years. But you can track all the offseason stuff from that team, and I'm not seeing the same level of impact with this group unless a bunch of these rookies are lights out. And that could happen.
Kevin says, I fault Amy for a lot, but I do think she's trying to restructure the organization to a more modern setup when she took over the team. The Titans were in the Stone Age from a facility, staff, everything was outdated. I commend her for taking on the challenge of trying to update the organization as a whole. This is from Kevin on the text line.
Well, she has done things like that for years, and I think that's fair. And I think Kaplan, it was an interesting point he brought up about investment, which really doesn't match up with the idea that she's just putting some
imaginary cap
so you have to draft a QB.
But you will not go sign Daniel Jones.
But I'm sure whoever came up with that cockamamie theory would probably argue, we'll see, but the money is going into all these front office people, which makes sense. Let's spend a ton of money on people to pick players and then not let them pick their own players. No, right. That totally makes sense. The more I think about it, it's just crystal clear.
Don't yell.
I know. So are they coming in here next, DVD and Willie?
I think so.
Walk down the hall in shame and keep, you know, not look at Willie.
Keep your head down.
He thinks I'm a screaming ogre on the radio.
Long fuse. Yeah, it looked painful.
Long fuse. That really hurt my throat.
Rexford has a total inability to speak now. It's good stuff.
Probably for the better, apparently, according to Willie.
Maybe so. Hey, what about that NBA draft lottery last night?
Yes.
So Dallas ends up with the number one pick in the NBA, so it looks like Cooper Flagg is going to go to Dallas. They trade Luka Doncic away in the middle of the year to L.A., and everybody's been trying to, like, run the general manager out of town ever since then in Dallas. And he ends up last night with the number one overall pick. People are shouting conspiracy in the NBA that it was a part of the deal where Adam Silver and the NBA came to the Mavs and said, hey, I need you guys to trade Luka to the Lakers. And in return, we'll make sure you end up with the number one overall pick in the draft lottery.
Those ping pong balls will happen to go your way.
Yeah.
Don't you ask how. They will go your way.
Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's there's people who are, like, people who I like aren't just, like, you know, NBA fans 7-3-4-5-7-3-4 who are actually, like, convinced of this.
Oh, so, yeah, it's all over. You know. Yeah.
So, whatever. I do like Vingan. As I look at Vingan waving the Cooper flag, he had a great thought earlier. He says he can't wait for Nico Harrison to trade Cooper Flagg for Kevin Durant in 3 years. Yeah. Nico Harrison's already thinking of who he can trade Cooper Flagg to.
I was going to say, how about Flagg for Luka, straight up?
Yeah,
who says
get him back? Yeah. Maybe that's all part of the plan.
I mean, you know, think about that. All of a sudden, he ends up with both Luka and AD and wins a bunch of titles. Genius. No, it's pretty wild that they
it really is
1.8%. But that's the problem with the lottery is that actually, you know, 1.8%. I mean, again, 1.8%. I think some people hear the word lottery and they think it's like playing the lottery.
Yeah,
no, that's like 0.0000000000 whatever percent, right? 1.8% is not nothing. I mean, these things happen, and so that's the problem with tanking.
Doesn't always work.
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There you go.
Doesn't always work.
So, I mean, I will tell you that I look at the Mavs, and with Derek Lively, another Duke evening, and look at you. You're so excited. But you talk about the defensive potential of that team with AD. You know, again, AD. I mean,
can Anthony Davis step on the floor Kyrie. Without,
he's,
like.
He's claiming Kyrie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's they have a chance to be pretty freaking good.
Can Anthony Davis step on the floor without, like, separating his feet? Like is this his
probably
entire
not.
Body break when that's, he steps on the floor like it did the first time for the Mavs this year?
That is a fair question. That's a very fair question. If somehow they can keep it together and he can, you know, find a stretch of health, they could be
he's like a back-to-tank from Star Wars. Just get him in there.
But Flagg, you know, I think Flagg's going to be good. I don't know that Flagg's like – I know he's obviously the number one pick, and he should be. I don't know that Flagg is a build-your-team-around-him great – player in the NBA? Do you think so? No, I don't know. You tell. I don't think.
No, I don't know.
Like you think so, Vingan? I know you're a Duke. Yeah, see, you agree with me. I mean, I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
He's a tremendous defensive. He has a great sense for help defense. And, you know, he's. I don't think he's ever going to be a great shooter. Good at, you know, great athlete, driver, all that stuff. He'll be a very good player. If he is great, great, like some people think. Yeah. Then, man, Nico Harrison might be laughing at everybody in the end.
I hope he doesn't have, you know, part of, you know, the conspiracy theory is Luka got too fat for the Mavs, and he's around that Texas food down there. So I hope, you know, Cooper Flagg is younger.
I've seen some pictures.
He's got that metabolism. I hope that hope he didn't gain a whole lot of weight, or otherwise they're gonna send him packing too.
I saw a picture on X of like Cooper Flagg in 3 years, and it looked like basically the body that Dennis gave to me yesterday on X with my stomach tattoo.
Just personally for me, the best area in the country for food is Texas. I love like just the amount of things that you can find in Texas.
Boy. Ian's got stuff for
Ian's
at
got,
the, at
but
the,
I stand by those comments. You can find some good food in Texas.
Oh, yeah. No, it's hard to – I mean, I still would go personally with New Orleans as the best food place in the country, but Texas is not weak.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the – Luka apparently got too fat. That's what they think. So, Cooper, you stay away from that barbecue down there, son.
That kid, you know how much, like – I mean, he would have to basically be on my college diet, like so many burritos and so much beer to break down that metabolism, you know. But I did it. I couldn't put weight on when I was 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
And
it changes
is
quickly.
Is that hard to imagine right now? I mean, how shocking is that? But I couldn't.
One thing
was skinny like Vingan still is.
This was almost my rant today before we started yelling about the Milwaukee Admirals. But the people who now think like the NFL should change to a draft lottery, like now the NFL does a lot of things that I find to be stupid from time to time. If I were them, I would never touch their draft process is what it is right now. It's, you know how much time the general sports fan and like we spend talking about the NFL draft? It's unbelievable how much time we talk about the NFL draft. They should leave it exactly the way it is. There's nothing wrong with it. It's like one of the most compelling TV events of the year.
Yeah.
Just don't touch it.
Yeah, and the thing with those other leagues, there is, you know, from above, we've heard it from the NFL too at times, but like the tanking thing is more of a, it's just, in football, you have 17 games. Yeah. It's not the same thing. Sean, look at the odds. That was rigged. Again, 1.8%, guys. It's not 0.00018%. I mean, I don't have to tell you. I mean, if you want to believe it was rigged, if you want to believe that these leagues think that the risk and the reward is worth rigging something like this, you're welcome to believe it. You're not being very smart. I'm sorry. And I said that very quietly and didn't yell because I think I don't want Willie to be even more offended by my presence on the air. Love
that
you, Willie.
That does it for us today. Adam and Willie are coming up next. Adam will be with me tomorrow morning, Rex Road, tomorrow afternoon with Kuharski.
Oh, good Lord.
We'll have all that for you. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.